Experience the power of hands-on learning with CloudShare. Want to build a truly impactful customer education program? Hands-on learning is key, but traditional labs are both expensive and cumbersome. Introducing CloudShare, the cloud-based platform that lets you create secure, scalable training labs in just minutes. Imagine giving your customers, partners, and employees a safe, hands-on environment to learn your software, creating compelling, engaging experiences that wow your users, eliminating the hassle and the cost of managing physical labs. CloudShare empowers you to deploy customized learning environments in just minutes, provide access to the latest software versions and configurations, track progress and gather valuable insights, and even more, collaborate with your students. With CloudShare, your training program goes from ordinary to extraordinary. Check them out today at cloudshare.com.
Welcome, everybody, to C-Lab, the Customer Education Laboratory, where we explore how to build customer education programs, experiment with new approaches, and exterminate the myths and the bad advice that you hear that stops growth dead in its tracks. I am your host, Dave Darrington, and today I am joined by Randy Ruggles. Welcome.
Hello. It's so exciting to be on this show after listening for so many years. It's a great podcast. It's an honor to be
here. Right? Well, thank you. And we'll get into this, but we've happened to see each other live in person twice this year, and that really prompted the interest in having a discussion and getting your stuff out loud, because you've been out there running the circuit talking about your craft, and it's been great to see. I've really been impressed.
Well, thank you. It's been so fun to see so many CE people out there, right? At conferences and events recently. Hopefully that continues here in the future.
Yeah, I would say that, folks, if you listen to the show and you want to get active, that's a good segment that this year. Some of us will be showing up at DevLearn, and that's a great event to hang out at. You learn different things. We went to SEGMA, so I'll be coming up again next year. All right, let's get into our warm up. We have our International Day of today, and we can break in this a little bit before we started. There are three ones catch my eye today, and this is for your vote. It is World Tutors Day, which, hey, that's appropriate for what we're talking about here with our craft, right? I like the fact that it's World UFO Day. I still haven't seen one, so have you ever seen a UFO?
I don't know. I haven't. I do a lot of space. I live in Florida now, and so we get to see rocket launches that are happening 3.5 hours away. It's so incredibly cool, but no UFOs.
Oh, that'd be
neat. UFOs. Yeah.
Really, I don't awesome. Know where they're... Where the people are, I get to go see them. I always look out the window and the airplane in the way. I'm like, can I see you? No.
At that point.
And then I think this is my pick. I'll leave you to pick yours, but it's National I Forgot Day.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I forgot about that.
I forgot. I don't know if it's I forgot what I'm going to have for dinner, or I forgot what day it is, or I forgot to do that thing for that person. I don't know. It's I forgot.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well,
it's good.
That's why I have a Jira board and a Kanban Trello board and all the things to keep my mind in, because I'll forget it, which is a good segment into what we're talking about today. Let me frame things up for us and help Absolutely. Us guide our discussion. There's so many things I want to talk to you about, and I hope to get you talking to run more through what your program has done. You have great maturity in your program, which we don't get to see a lot of. So this is your opportunity as a professional, a friend of ours, deeply rooted in our network, to get out there and show off what you've done a little bit. What I'd like you to do first is talk a little bit about your role. I understand you're in really curriculum and support, your content, you're at Jamf. And what I've seen from your bio from the world is that you've really been pioneering and working hard on that short form scalable content, bite-sized videos, integrated onboarding flows. You're doing some really cool stuff. And what's even more interesting that we have an interconnect here, since I work at Atlassian now, and I'm in the guts of the company learning about how we can make efficiencies what you've shown to the world in your presentation, we've talked to me about, we had a little bit of video segment before at SEDMA. I want to get you talking about how you're using this kind of system of work to scale your own capabilities to scale your program. So with that in mind, tell me more, frame yourself up. Tell us in the audience where you got into this, how you got your start. Give us some background on what you're up to.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you. And so, hi, everyone. I'm Randon. If we haven't met before, it's so great to be here and share just a little bit more. Maybe like some of you out there, I'm a former teacher. I was in a high school English teacher that just really had a passion for the intersection of technology and education and what people understanding more about how to use technology effectively in the classroom and what that can go ahead and do for them and their audiences and kind of where that fits. And so, you know, a number of years ago, I wanted to be in a customer education role, but customer education didn't exist. And so I went to college to be a teacher and did technology on the side, helping parents, faculty members, teachers. And when I got my teaching position, they said, hey, you've got all this background. My work study in university was all about helping my professors use their learning management system, integrate that whiteboard. If anyone out there knows smart boards, I taught professors how to actually use those smart boards. And so when I got my first teaching job, they said, Brandon, you have all of this background in technology. We're starting a one-to-one program. Would you be able to go ahead and help us out with that? Well, I happened to do my student teaching at one of the first one-to-one laptop programs in an English classroom out in Denver, Colorado. So I had that background and experience. And 4 years later, I was managing over 1,400 Apple devices, still doing a little bit of teaching, helping out. And it was just an incredible experience. But I knew there was more out there. And so we had brought on Jamf. Those of you who are not familiar with Jamf, Jamf is an organization that helps you succeed with Apple devices from a device management and device security perspective. Many, many organizations use us. There's over 75,000 of them out there in the world, from very, very small coffee shops to huge companies like Atlassian, IBM, SAP. And so we were using them just to manage all of our Apple devices. I was a single kind of IT guy that was doing some other stuff on the side in technology and education. And so I felt there was a bigger, spot, wrinkle, dent you could put into the universe. And so left K-12 education and went to Jamf. And my first title, Dave, I don't know about you, you go back in time in customer education, you think about it. My first title was Education Services Engineer. And people look at me and say, well, that's kind of cool. I mean, like, for those that have been around in the space for a while, we were part of professional services at that point in time. But I was a trainer. I wasn't an engineer. I just taught people how to use our software. And so while I was finishing my master's degree in curriculum and education, I was teaching customers how to go ahead and use our software, which was fantastic. And to shorten the story just a little bit, Dave, because I could talk for a while here, 12 years later, have launched fully customer education, its own department about 5 years ago. We continue to go ahead and build and support our organization here at Jamf. And, you know, our mission that we have in customer education every single day at Jamf surrounds around this. It's about providing relevant, engaging, and industry-leading learning experiences. And you may wonder why, and that's part of our mission. And it's all about driving the onboarding, the growth, and the retention of our Jamf customers and our colleagues. And that's what we do every single day. And so that looks like a couple of different things that we can get into, Dave, of how we have our team organized and structured and what that looks like. But I've been incredibly blessed to be able to lead this team. And today we've got about 25 individuals in our customer education team. So it's been this incredible journey from just being a teacher to now leading an entire team and impacting our entire community and an organization with customer education. So thank you all out there for being part of the customer education organization and industry. And it's so fun to be a part of it every single day. And it's really a dream come true. As I talk to my daughter about, what do you want to do when you grow up? And she's like, I don't know yet. And I'm like, that's okay, because that's where I am. The job and the position I had did not exist 10 years ago. And so here we are. It didn't even exist 5 years ago. But yeah.
Well, I would challenge us to think about it even more broadly.
Yeah.
And I love your story here. And I want to roll back to when you said, you know, you got into this field and it, you know, didn't even really seem to have a name. It kind of has, but the thread we're pulling on today, as we continue to evolve our understanding of what customer education is about. And actually, since I joined Atlassian, I feel like I've got a story in there. I'm not going to deflate or detract from your story, but the touch points I've had that are very similar are, well, I had a crazy title at one point, was customer support scientist. You know, it's like your education services engineer. What the heck? Why is, well, I was a scientist supporting scientists, right? And it was very complicated. It got my, I was always teaching. And then there's another thing in your story, which I really appreciated, is that many of us, that story that you've told is that journey beyond where so many teachers I've talked to, one being me too, because I taught at university, you're a certain kind of person, not only because you have that aptitude to actually teach and help, but you also have the ability to understand a complex IT infrastructure. For example, when I first worked with Jamf, I was an enterprise security program manager for Charter Communications. And it was helping us so much to be able to do provisioning, you know, get devices taken care of, all this kind of stuff. And I was blown away by the simplicity. I learned a lot about it really quick. And then, but to tie into your space and kind of move the discussion, that role I was in as kind of an internal facilitator and enabler who is working with Jamf to implement that platform, there's all that gap between, well, the end user is, what the heck is this? I have to use this thing on my phone now. And well, when you start to see the other end of this, holy crap, this makes my life easier now. I can BYOD and I can enroll my phone and I can do all this more. I mean, I think you do Apple OS, you know, the desktop too.
Absolutely.
Okay, but I'm not going to elaborate anymore on that. I'm just trying to say I connect with you because that resonates with me, that journey of, well, I was a teacher, but now I'm a tech. And now I'm both. And now here we are, and we're in a space of experience of the customer. So
in let's understanding start with how to explain those things, because that also takes skill to take something that's incredibly complex, incredibly IT-oriented, and put that into a model and a spot where people can understand it. You're absolutely right. And the department name before customer education was Curriculum and Content Development, CCD. Because we didn't really know or make sense.
What that was.
It was this idea of like, we need to build a cohesive story, a cohesive set of training, and we got to bring that lens to it, but we have to fit it inside of the IT lens. So it's been awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I mean, yeah, this is the bread and butter here of what we do. Let's start off by this. I'd like to break into and transition to your big picture vision. So, yeah. As you came into Jamf and you started doing this programming, you obviously organically evolved it. But now, would you say 12 years in, you know, 12 years later, you have a big picture vision that you've articulated. And what something that you and I both were running into a lot, and you did at Pulse, was this scaled customer experience formula.
Yeah.
Right? It's in I'm going to be really transparent here. Because part of the discussion we're having is peer-to-peer as, you know, friends and people that are working in the same industry with something very complex. We are actively working on that customer experience too, but it's hard. It's so hard because you've got competing interests. You've got a customer success team that may be driving stuff and then forget you're there, and then they're baking content, or product marketing managers that are doing stuff over here, and then they don't know what you've got, they do, and they're making you do certain things, but then it doesn't connect. So you've got this whole ecosystem. It's not just, I'm a siloed team making content. So I'd like you to talk about is like breaking down, what has been your big picture vision? You know, what do you have in place today that is like this integration of education and product experience and all together that make your learning ecosystem really impactful?
Yeah, it's a lot of work, and it's definitely something that has been a journey to go ahead and get there. And so today, you know, one of the things that we do have is a lot of touch points with our customer success team and our professional services team that both sit inside of that larger CX bucket. of what are we trying to go ahead and drive to people to from an onboarding perspective, and making sure that we're aligned on the touch points of what that journey is in the first 90 days. How can we actually support? How can we make that fit? What do we need to do out of the gate in day one, day 30, day 60, day 90? How do we actually help that support that? Do we have content to help support on that journey? And then what happens after that? And so for us, that support that we have inside of our online training catalog for customers to continue to grow. And then as they continue on that journey from 90 to 180 days to 365 days, how do we get them into our actual high stakes or low stakes, if that's where they're at, type of certifications? And that's where professional services can go ahead and come in and provide those types of learning experiences for them. And so it's a lot of understanding where our customers are on the journey, understanding how we can go ahead and help them grow. And also, you know, at the end of the day, Jamf's a business. So helping to understand how do we support that business at the touch points as those customers continue to grow. But the journey is really just about providing those really impactful learning experiences for them. But it's a lot of work. I mean, the amount of teams that we talk to on a day-to-day basis or that we interface with far, I think, outweighs. Engineers talk to engineers. Marketing talks to other marketing people. Customer education, I feel like we're talking about, and maybe Dave, this is the same in your organization. We're talking to so many different touch points on a day-to-day basis to make sure our content is there for our customers, that it's relevant for our customers. I mean, just even the other day, I was talking and working on a new course that we just announced yesterday. We're so excited about it. It's been months in the making, but I had to talk to marketing. I had to talk to product management. I talked to product marketing. I had to talk to engineering. I had to talk to technical communications, localization, customer success, professional services, all just to get this thing out the door. It's been a long journey to go ahead and get there. And so I think it's those relationships and those connection points that make us unique, but also incredibly valuable to the organization, of kind of how we fit in the middle.
That's really well put. And it's interesting that you bring that up. You said maybe this resonates with me, and it does. I'm experiencing the same thing. And I think it's just one highlight, I would say, from my experience, and I would expect others to have this as well. I'm relatively new at Atlassian. I'm just shy of 6 months, which will be, you know, Saturday, I think, or Monday. We'll be working Saturday. But that, it takes that long organizationally to really to grok what you're working with. So that what you've described is, I'm working with marketing, working with this team, working with your, that is, that the, your land day is the day you're trying to cast a net and get to learn everybody and how they integrate. What I'm saying as well is that, just like you said, there's actually two pieces in that. My team is quite, I lead a strategic team. It's called the Learning Solutions and Programs team. And what we do is more of that, we're kind of like entrepreneurs. We start up a new project with a different team, and we work to achieve some OKR outcome, and then we move on. And then the rest of the other parts of the team build the content and do the certification program, and then we manage events and all that kind of stuff. So it's this fabric of all of these really interesting things, and it's coming together quite well. So yeah, that resonates with me. And I think what probably services you well is the fact that you've been there quite a while. So you have that organizational or institutional knowledge that you've developed over hard-won relationship building and such over the years. So that you're at that point. I mean, you're probably seen as that point person. Do you have a lot of conflicts? Or are you finding a lot of teams doing their own stuff? Or are they more coordinated with you now?
Well, we're much more coordinated now. But I think as you speak about the history and the evolution of Jamf, you know, Jamf has, in my 12 years, has gone from privately held, funded to now, you know, a number of years ago, we are traded on the stock market now. And so as part of the Jamf journey and story, we've had a number of acquisitions. And so as I've been at Jamf now for this number of years, we've not only seen our core product continue to grow and mature, but we've purchased companies that have other solutions or other products that have either come in at different points. Also, as we can talk, Dave, on the customer education maturity journey, if you want to go ahead and phrase that. And so we acquire a new company, and then we think about, well, how are they doing onboarding? How are we helping them grow? How does that fit into the overall ecosystem of the platform? And where does that actually fit into our overall strategy of what we're doing with customer education and fit in? And so it's been this incredibly evolving, invigorating, and opportunity to continue to make change in an evergreen type of environment. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm glad you told that story too, because this is just my take. The journey that I and Adam to a degree as well, we both experienced this. We were in these startups and we're moving really fast, we're learning all this stuff. And I think customer education got a really good reboot in that this last decade, basically. Yeah. And I think it's been part of that subscription economy, because I came out of Gainsight. And I was all like, well, we got to name this and do something with it and build a program about it, because this is insane. We didn't have education services or that formalism that you see a lot of larger companies have, right? Well, we have an education services team. Okay, what do they do? Do training? Okay, yeah. That's kind of old school, but I'm seeing a swap. I'm really seeing that what we've been doing with our craft is now kind of coming in and replacing that strict education services type of mentality, and now it's imbued with a lot more experience. So we're way more horizontal than we ever had, and we're a lot more included. Are you feeling that as well?
100%. I mean, GMF, our core product, the one that I actually used as a customer, 14, 15 years ago, was installed on a server in the closet. And then we had someone that came to actually do that installation, turned around and gave us a half day or a day of training, right? That doesn't exist today in the SaaS world. And so this is really interesting shift as we think about, how do we continue to educate? How do we continue to bring in the dollars from a annual recurring revenue type of perspective? If you think about that from a SaaS mentality, how does that fit? And the cool part or interesting part where I fit in that Apple IT industry space, we've had high stakes certifications for a long time. We continue to have those. But unlike maybe other companies that have been SaaS for a long time, we're filling out more of our portfolio on the short form, on the low stakes certifications. Yeah. And so we're coming that direction where maybe other people are going the other low stakes into high stakes certifications. And so it's this interesting space for me to come in and to talk to people that are trying to do what we've been doing for years. And we're trying to figure out, how do you do what you do at a low stakes or short form type of way? And how does that work in a SaaS world? Because that's where we live today. And so it's just been awesome to talk to so many people, learn so much, and continue to grow in both sides of our business.
This is really cool. And it transitions to the next question I have for you, where, let's go back to that maturity model thinking, because I think Thought Industries and some other companies had, and I know Brian Childs and others have this concept of a maturity model for an education teams. And I think that model is kind of broken in a way now, because it's not so much just a very linear thing. You're not, crawl, walk, run, fly, whatever. You're repeating that at different levels of business maturity. So what you are talking about here, let's talk about the short form content in that, because it's like, oh, well, aren't you doing certification and all that stuff? Like, no, we did all that. Now we're expanding our value to much broader teams, and we can't have this long form crap anymore. So tell me more about what your program is with, I think you call it GM Shorts, right?
GM Shorts. Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, I'll kind of back up and say that once we realized that customers weren't going to take a high stakes certification, they're not going to take 5 high stakes certification courses in a year. Like, that's just not possible from a budgetary or travel perspective when we were teaching classes in person. We had to stop and start to think about, where does our online training catalog fit? What type of content do we want in there? And so I kind of approached it very much. I'm a Lego fan. I don't know anyone else out there that is a Lego fan. And so a number of years ago for Sedma, I wrote an article about how we were approaching online training in terms of Lego bricks. being able to build number of bricks and then put them together into a type of design that may be fit from an onboarding perspective, but then take these three or four bricks, put them over here with these other bricks, and then this is a growth type of model, or someone that wants to continue to go and add on to what products they have or capabilities that are in their product. And so as we approached that, as we built our actual online training catalog, it was, we're not going to have any videos over 12 minutes. The sweet spot for us was 7 to 12 minutes. And that's still where we sit today inside of our online training catalog. And we've got great data and metrics that continue to go ahead and fit on that. But as we move more and more, Dave, as what you've said, into this SaaS type of world where we have customers that want to learn something really quick, we had to come up with a way to sit more in that 3 to 5 minute range. And we also wanted a little bit more applicability for customers that didn't want to log in SSO into a catalog and know that they had to get there. And so that's where our short form content, we call them GMF shorts, internally. I'll just quickly go ahead and say we have a lot of fun. And so internally, we call these jorts, or like cut off jean shorts, is what we call it internally. It would never be approved and never something we would ever put on any marketing thing. But, you know, we like to have fun. So they are absolutely called GMF shorts. GMF shorts. But, you know, a huge shout out to the team and Kyle that leads that specific team. And so we created this brand and identity really around it that matches our corporate brand, but allows us to be able to provide short form, you know, immediate to the point type of answers. And so as we first created these, it was, how do we want to train a customer in 3 to 5 minutes to achieve a goal? Something very simple that could be driving customer adoption, that could be driving a new capability or feature that they wanted to go ahead and start using. And that has been really awesome. And has worked really, really well. What's been interesting is that as our technical support and customer success teams that were giving us some of the ideas for these videos, and yes, Dave, they were submitting those through Jira Help Desk, and we were filling all those out into a backlog and sorting all of that. But as we've gone on this journey in the last 18 months or so, we've been able to bifurcate our Jamf shorts into a support shorts and a training shorts lens. You want me to pause?
There's a joke in there somewhere, I think. But I like that. You know, training shorts. Yes. It sounds funny. But yes, that's cool, because I was going to ask you more about how this content is showing up in your learner's journey, inside the product. Are you using anything like Salesforce Marketing Cloud or Journey Orchestrator for Gainsight or another system to do that drip feed type sequential campaign and then have that plugged in?
So we're doing it in a couple of different spots. So first of all, from a Gainsight perspective, we're able to go ahead and, I want to back up just a little bit and say, all of our content in our training catalog is accessible inside of Gainsight. There's an incredible plugin between the learning management system that is Skilljar with Gainsight. And so our customer success representatives know exactly what our customers are completing inside the training catalog. And so they see that single pane of glass inside of CX. It's amazing. But if customers are struggling with a particular topic or concept or item that maybe they need help with, the first thing that I love, Dave, is that we have everything from our training catalog and everything from our YouTube channel. And we have a separate YouTube channel than our corporate channel. So it's the Jamf Training and Support YouTube channel that we curate, that's slightly different, that our team goes ahead and manages for our customers around training and support. And that all of that content feeds into the Jamf Learning Hub. It's your single spot to go to learn anything at Jamf. That's also where all of our documentation is at. And you're like, Raynan, why are you taking me on this journey? Well, here's why. If a customer needs to go ahead and learn about how to do a thing, or they have a problem about how to do a thing, we want them first to go to the Learning Hub, where they can say, hey, I need to find out how to do configuration profiles. They can look that up and they'll get the documentation, maybe a video that we posted on YouTube, as well as a full online training catalog course that they can actually go register. But let's also say that that same exact customer has an issue later on with configuration profiles. They'll go to our support portal and put in a ticket in our support portal to go ahead and ask, hey, I've got an issue with this. That support portal is pulling in all the content from the Jamf Learning Hub, and then we have the videos right there for them. So in the last, you know, few months, as we've gotten more and more of these short form content requests from our technical support team, as we're looking at what are the top 5, 10, 15 types of requests that are coming in to support, we're able to then take that content, create short form content to specifically deflect cases. Yeah. Then when the customers are submitting their actual requests, these case deflection type of Jamf shorts are then showing up and deflecting the cases. So it's been a nice little natural journey of how everything is kind of fitting together as we continue to create the short form content. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. I feel validated here because this is why I was really excited to talk to you, because it feels like we're at that same kind of exploration space and what can work. And one thing I'll follow up on was that for the short form work, we have on our team, our team member Kevin, who came in with an influencer background and has crafted a program, we call it Lasting Answer, that we put on YouTube, that it has legs. And I don't think anybody really expected this to take off like it did, but he'd been able to tune content with, okay, it's exciting. You watch it. It looks like a TikTok or YouTube video. It's short. It gets to the point. And it doesn't replace that layer of more pedagogically correct content or undergraduate, whatever split we wanted. The formal stuff, right?
The formal stuff.
I go to the course in our academy or whatever, and you go through the steps, and you get a certificate of completion or some jazz like that. It's a both and. But what those have done is gotten that curiosity, like, oh, I didn't know I could do that. I'm going to go back in and, well, I need a little bit more training, and maybe I want a certification down the road. And you're building this kind of the equivalence of, SEO. You know, we're bringing people to where they should be. It's not where we want them, it's where they need to go, and it's the right place. Yeah. So it sounds like you've done a pretty, and of course, we're doing the things like embedding stuff in the product. You show up on a Confluence page somewhere, things are there. Anywhere we can now, I love your Lego analogy. I actually have used that as well because I am a Lego fan. I can't show you my Ghostbusters car that my son and my daughter and I put together in the dark Millennium Falcon that my son and I put together, but I've got, trust me. But that modularity is so important, and I feel like we lose it. One of the things that I could share here is that, you know, last one, we've had live training for a long time, but Andrew and Sarah and our ILT team have been working to modularize, but it's not just them, it's our whole content team. Go, okay, for this 4-hour class, why don't we do a 4-hour class? Well, 15, 10 years ago, that was smart. Come on site, we sit there all day, we go have lunch and dinner and come back and do it again. You know, and we can get through a lot of material really fast, but nobody has time for that anymore. We can't go to the customers like we used to. We can, but it's not called for. You've got to bring it down to something tight because I only have this limited time attention span. And if you can get it out of a SCORM type package and go modular with a video, it causes other complexities and problems with tracking. I'd be interested in hearing more about that. But once you hook it all up, you can do a lot more really fast. You just need to curate that. And that's where it gets trickier.
It is absolutely where it gets trickier. And you know, as we make a decision and I put the learning experience designers in the driver's seat of, you know, we have a topic that comes in that we need to go ahead and cover. Is this more what we call longer form content? Is it content that's going to go inside of a certification course? Is it a short form content? And, you know, our short content too, as we think about it, Dave, and very similar, we put our shorts in app, we go ahead and embed them in emails. You know, there's a lot of other ways that we get these to our actual customers. But right now we're even exploring, can we go shorter? You know, what that Lassian Answers TikTok is really interesting to us. But I think for us as we've kind of positioned it and been able to, you know, go ahead and position some team members that we're calling digital engagement. That we sit, they handle our in-app content. So like, how does that actually get to our customers? But more so, we're really exploring what does 30 seconds to a minute to 90 seconds look like? How do we transition from the value prop of, hey, this is a feature that you really want without getting really into how to do it? How can we explain the why and point you to the resources of how to go ahead and do that and kind of sit there in the middle to be between customer success and full-blown, you know, technical implementation, and sit there to educate enough to get them excited enough to come back in that 30, 60, 90 second perspective. And that can be from, hey, we want you to continue to grow, come to this course, to, hey, we got this new feature, let's go ahead and go a little bit deeper. And so this is something we're absolutely exploring, is how do we do this really well, but in more of a social media type of way, or a lens to match it. So it's short, but shorter, but with a different team. So we're exploring. So stay tuned. We'll see what that looks like in the next couple of months and years as we continue to explore. What are these things? Where does this stuff fit? How are we able to go ahead and help our customers continue to grow?
You're really getting me excited here, because these are the same kinds of struggles we have. And frankly, you know, breaking the fourth wall here, any of you who are listening or watching or experiencing the same kind of journey, reach out, because we really want to talk about this more. As I'd even be open to seeing some community workshops and things together where we all can really go deeper. But I think each one of us, when you talk about this, I'm going to use the word tapestry, right? This fabric that we're knitting together of all of these different players and different teams. But where things get so immensely complicated is, okay, where is the content? Do you have it indexed? Do you have a library of it? I was listening, or I was talking with Sam Murray and Courtney Sembler, and Courtney Sembler in particular had a furrowed brow at Pulse. And I'm like, what's going on in your head? And I won't steal her thunder about this, but other than to say that we were looking at the complexity of all this AI stuff that's coming out, and the ability for anybody to create content that actually looks pretty good. And it can be short form, but it's not us doing it. And yeah. I don't want to be, this is not coming from ego or arrogance. It's coming from a place of governance and curation, where if we're not all aligned, working together, like you're talking about with your other teams there, if we're not aligned and seeing plenty of the same stuff and using that energy to direct these creodes of content that are modular, small, they're, I can pick pieces out, I can put pieces together, I can keep things updated. That is, I think, the core of how we're building our new teams. And what I'd like to do now is, I want you to exposition for a little while. I know we're going to go, we might break this up into two. What I would like to hear from you, and I think our audience would like to, is, okay, scroll back a little bit.
Yeah.
And then let's talk from the Atlassian perspective, because yeah. I'm for sure going to socialize this with our team at Atlassian. So we're going through this now. And what I'd like to hear from you is, okay, cool. You are always going to have a system. It could be Monday or Airtable, like Kevin. You know, we talked with Kevin at the event. And so he's done all this on the Airtable ecosystem, and that's really cool. We have friends at Asana, right, who are using stuff. Mm-hmm. We've had friends that used to work at Smartsheet. These are all really interesting. And I would love to hear you draw out, you said, okay, our system of work, our platform that we choose at Jamf, you're well aligned with Atlassian anyway, because we're both in that IT space, that's where we got our start. And now you go, well, crap, I've got all this capability between Confluence, between Jira, I use Trello all the time too. And then I don't know if you're using I think you are. You said this, GPD, you know, for planning projects, for communication with other teams in particular. Where I want to learn more from you particularly is that horizontal coordination of all of this stuff to make sure that I don't lose my mind, right? And this is very, very relevant to us. So, okay, you got the floor. I'm going on mute here. Talk us through your world now. Talk us through how you use all these tools to build some cool stuff.
Hey, listeners. Recently, I ordered some new equipment for the C-Lab podcast. When a couple of weeks had passed, I still didn't have it. I hopped online to check the tracking details. Yep, for sure, my order made it from overseas to the U.S. within only a few days, but then it got stuck in a postal warehouse nearby for almost a week. And then it hit me. It's the classic last mile problem. For product suppliers, the most expensive and complex part of getting a product delivered to your customer's doorstep isn't the hundreds of miles traveled at the beginning of its journey. It's that final mile. Sound familiar? That's because it's the same with customer education. We create expert learning content for customers and users, and then what? Just 5% or less of that is sometimes actually even viewed. Most everything we create is at the mercy of CSMs and our customer admins themselves. And if they don't proactively push this material along to our users, most of them aren't going to go looking for it on their own. So we're excited to share that Brainstorm is solving this last mile problem for customer education teams. Brainstorm enables you to empower your customers with turnkey end user training campaigns, including adaptive learning flows, events, emails, surveys, and more. Customers just have to hit go. Learn more and get a free 90-day trial today when you visit brainstorminc.com/CELab.
Yeah, so I think it goes back to, you know, some of my brain and upbringing and education in education is that there's a system of designing learning. There's a systematic way that you go ahead and actually approach that creation process. Mm-hmm. And so once we were able to kind of align on what are the steps and what are the phases, and over the years, this was something I presented a number of years ago at a Skilljar conference, was just, how do we create content? What are the phases of methodology is what we call it, that we create content. And specifically, if we just go ahead and look at online training and those shorts that you were talking about before, you mm-hmm. know, there are 5 to 7 steps that we go through every single time that we create one of those. So you're like, Rainin, how does this fit in with that last year? Well, for us, what we do is we actually use those steps to create Jira issues that are then on a Kanban board. So let me back up just a little bit and give you some more. There's the teaser. So as we were, working and humming along in a normal waterfall type of way of creating content 5 or 6 years ago, it became very apparent that we needed more structure. Our team was growing. I needed a little bit more line of sight of where were all of our projects. And at that point in time, too, if you go back 5 years, we weren't at the office. And so
where were we?
Where those things were, right? I know. And so right before that, as our team was wanting to work more autonomously, more remotely, I was getting up in the morning and having calls with people in Europe. I was going into an office, working all day, coming home, and then having calls with our APAC colleagues. It was just becoming a little bit chaotic. So I was searching for a way to go ahead and organize this stuff. And I was attending all of these sprint reviews from my engineering team. And they're like, yeah, we use this tool called Atlassian to go ahead and actually keep all of our projects together and understand who's doing what. And I was like, that's pretty cool. Can we use it? And they're like, I don't know. Like, do you have products? Do you have something that you can do with that? And I'm like, sure. I mean, like, I've got a product. It's called Customer Education. That's a product, right? So let's see what it can go ahead and look like. And so I had a really awesome manager named Kyle who's like, I want to go to Scrum Master training. So he went, he got trained, and he came back, and he's like, Rainin, we can do this. We can put this together. And so then we started to go ahead and implement Atlassian in a way specifically for Jira or whatever tool you have out there to actually keep each of our teams together in what types of projects they're actually working on, using story points to estimate effort, understanding capacity loads that we have on our team members, being able to do some long-range planning with where that's at, filtering our backlog so that we know where things are actually fitting, how long projects are going to go ahead and take. And so today, every single one of our teams has their own Atlassian project where they're keeping track of all the work that they're doing. We plan like an engineering team in 2-week sprints, so I know what's happening for the next 2 weeks. You back up another level, and we also do our planning on a PI or a quarterly type of increment. And then we're planning all of that with our epics at another level where we're using project planning and understanding what are projected dates we're going to finish that. And then to tie this up into some of the business metrics, we're tying that to the key business outcomes and metrics that we're going ahead and planning that. And so now I have a single dashboard to look at and understand this project that this team is putting together. I know where they're actually finishing. That's just on our own team side, just with Jira alone. And we're getting feedback in from our customers that are delivering high-stakes certifications or ideas that are coming in from Jamf employees or our customers around improving our content are coming in through different types of help desks. Some of those are external, some of those are internal, and that's feeding into Jira, into our backlogs. When you talk about Confluence, just alone there, in our Confluence environment is where we're keeping track of all of our scripts, our content, where things are published, when we go into localization, where all of that is sorted and organized and put together. And that's just those two products inside of Atlassian. And so it's been a wonderful synergy between those two that now we have a process and a structure of creating content. And that looks different based on every project. But we know I can go pull up my board and say, hey, Zach is working on a P1 or phase one for this video. I know exactly where that's at. I don't have to ask him where it is and how long that's going to take him, because there's a story point piece to it. And obviously, don't all of you out there, story points don't equate to time. I understand that. But it gives me a rough estimation of kind of where those things are at within a sprint. And I can do some really good planning. And so from a managerial perspective, I wouldn't know how to go ahead and manage people today without some structure, without a tool to go ahead and do that, with people living all over the globe today on our team to be able to coordinate, consolidate all the efforts, understand where we're going. Atlassian is behind every single bit of content that we're putting together, organizing, producing, reviewing, keeping our standards together with templates. I don't know. I could keep going, Dave, but is there anything in there that makes sense or you want to dig deeper into?
I do want to dig a little bit deeper. And this all is really clear to me, right? You've got it was just a natural thing for me at one point to say, we've got to get all this into a system. And yes, I love your approach to, well, do you have a product? Absolutely. Education and learning is a product. We're making things. It's just not software. It's talking about the software, but it's an output and a deliverable. And I think we tend to fail to see that all the time as an industry. We need to change that. You are building a product that's very much like, you think of a learning experience designer, an instructional designer, very similar to being a software developer, right? Exactly. Or maybe in a product marketing manager. Okay, so other things I'd like to talk about. So you said something about, we're definitely using Jira. So that's Kanban, you've got intake, you've got all that process. What kind of automations do you have underneath leveraging things like JSM or whatever to move things along without, like, I complete this in this state and it can notify somebody else, or it sends something, or it sends a report, or you know, what have you, what kind of things have you seen accelerate your ability to get back some of that time?
Yeah. So I think one of the things, and you touched on it just briefly, is because it's inside of Jira, there's line of sight to other individuals across the organization that may or may not use Jira on a regular basis. But if we're building a video that's supporting a product release or a product announcement or some sort of adoption campaign, we've got the engineering issues, and then we've got our, you know, issues are tied into the same actual setup. And so anyone across the organization is able to see, hey, Randon's supporting this. Here's where Randon's team and their status is on that project. And that's super neat. For us, we also go ahead and dig into, I'll give you one really quick example, is that with our high stakes certification courses, we update those on a regular basis. I hope most people out there do. But with that, we had an issue before where we were just keeping track of all of the things like on scratch paper and like a shared document somewhere of like, we changed lesson 12, we changed lesson 5, we changed lesson 6. Well, if you didn't know this, at least in Atlassian, when we close all of those issues, go ahead and export out a report. And that report builds our actual release notes. And then our release notes, just like software, is something then we go ahead and hand to our instructors. And they see everything that goes ahead and got changed in that release. And so that's been incredibly helpful. Burn down reports or burn up reports are also incredibly helpful to us, as I understand, where's our capacity at? How does that look? Are our team members as effective as they can? Are projects going over or going under? Some of that has been really helpful as well, Dave, as we look at some of the Atlassian tools. And then, you know, the other thing too that's just saved so much time, and I just have to give a huge shout out, is just templates. And being able to templates. Because for every single phase of our projects, whether it's a P1 or a P2A or P2V, which is audio and video recording or the actual editing of a video per se, we have that all completely templatized with checkboxes for our learning experience designers, things that they need to go out and complete, for our operations staff, things that they're looking at as they go to actually publish that content. And now the ability to have templates across spaces has been huge. So we have the same exact type of video and standards being followed from one team as into the other team. Before it was a little bit more complex. We had to copy it all over. Now it's way more simple. And we absolutely love leveraging templates. And it has allowed our content to look like Lego bricks in our training catalog because they have the same setup, design, feel, looks, and style to every single one of them. And Atlassian is behind allowing us to make that happen.
That's amazing. And that's that. It's not just brand standardization, but it's your program standardization, where this goes back to the question or the observation I had with so many people making content now. Fine, do it. However, you're going to be, we're going to ask you to follow these guidelines and standards. Oh, well, I don't want to do it. No, no, you can do it. But now we have to get that on the rails so we don't have this diaspora of content and this unmanageable space. Now you have things governed. You have curation. That's just 100%. Absolutely amazing.
Yes. And a lot of them also, like at the end of the day, they're still designers. They still are going to be creative in how they approach that, but they need to stay within the guardrails, and the templates have been really awesome to allow us to do
that. Yeah, templates are a lifesaver. I love that in Confluence. It makes it so easy. Cool. Start with that. We have things called product posters. And there's just a whole ton of them, but you pull one up, you fill it in, you share it with people, and then all of a sudden you're rolling and everybody can do the work pretty easily. Yeah. Cool. I've got a few more things to talk about, so we'll let's continue here. So your environment, you have Skilljar, so you're in the Gainsight Space ecosystem now. Congrats, Skilljar, for that acquisition. Yes. We've already talked about Atlassian and how you leveraged that. Can you tell me more about how you bring all this stuff together? Questions that I have in my mind are, how are you rolling up metrics? How are you making things visible to people that may not be in your system, such as, I think you mentioned, we've got a dashboard or report in Gainsight if I was a CSM and I could go to. How are you tracking what shorts or courses have the most performance, best performance? Just let's talk about that integration and getting into your metrics that support your business.
Yeah, so I think for us, one of the things, I go back to 2017 when we became Skilljar customers, one of the things that we loved about Skilljar at that point in time was their deep integration with Salesforce. Mm-hmm. That's something that Sandy and Jason pushed really early on. And so for us to be able to get Salesforce data and Skilljar data connected together has really allowed us to tie some of those high level KPIs that many customer education organizations out there have been searching for. That holy grail of, can you actually see improvements in CSAT and retention and NPS and NRR, all of those types of things. We were able to go ahead and build that very early on with the Skilljar data and our Salesforce data, and be able to pull that together into our data lake and then view that in terms of dashboards. And so that's been really, really helpful. I think in terms of other data that we look at, we've got our in-app tool in our customer education environment. So it's actually inside of Skilljar. So we're able to see when customers come to our training catalog, are they getting to the education content that we want them to get to? What does that look like? Are they getting stopped somewhere? And so that's allowed us to also iterate the look and feel and design of our training catalog to make sure that we're meeting our customers where they're at. You know, other pieces of data that we go ahead and look at a lot are, you know, we've got our Google Analytics data. Mm-hmm. We've got our case deflection data that we're getting from our Learning Hub set of content. We're looking at our CSAT data, and we cover CSAT in a variety of different ways, from both our CSATs that are coming in through Gainsight, from our high-stakes certifications to, you know, we might create a simulation, a lifelike simulation that gets presented at a conference, like our user conference that happens every single year. At the end of that, we may just have a survey. And so we're looking at the data that comes in from that, from just a normal like SurveyMonkey type of a survey to get those pieces of data. And so, you know, it's really fun to be in this space. And I was commenting with a number of people at Gainsight's conference recently around, you know, causality and causation and how that fits. And, you know, it's a struggle and an opportunity as a customer education leader to have all of the huge data metrics that you have at the top of like, hey, I know, and I can say this confidently at a Jamf perspective, that if we have a customer that comes in and takes a training course, goes into our online training catalog and registers and goes through that, we have a higher percentage of them continuing to go ahead and retain and be here as a long-term Jamf customer. That's awesome. I have that data.
Right.
I also can go ahead and tell you that like there were 1,000 people that watched a YouTube video last week when we announced a brand new feature. That's fantastic. I think the opportunity that I have as a customer education leader is how do I fill in some of those middle level metrics? How do I say, hey, we created this video that told more customers about the Jamf 200 course, and then they went and actually enrolled that. We wanted them to go ahead and complete the customer education journey. And so when they were done with that, we shared this bit of content with them. And then here's the result that actually happened. And so I'm really excited about what the opportunity holds for us is we've got some of our higher level metrics. We've got all of our base level metrics. How do I take, for example, Wistia, where we host some of our videos, our Wistia engagement metrics, make a change on something, get an output that then actually benefits the business as we move ahead into the future. And so that's something I'm really excited about, but we've got a ton of data. And I'll just tell you a quick story about one piece of data, Dave, if you or anyone else is interested. Wistia has a capability that allows you to do A/B testing on videos. And so a number of years ago, we created a video and I said, hey, let's just switch the ending on this just a little bit. Let's see what the reaction is. We used to have, like many organizations out there, like a 5 to 7 second bumper at the end of our video that had our logo came up with some, you know, like music in the background. So I said, hey, let's cut that down to 2 seconds. Let's see what actually would result. And so we put that into Wistia, A/B testing. We took that embed code, put that into Skillshare. And so as our customers were going through the training, they just got one video or the other. It was the same content, but the ending was slightly different. And so what we learned very quickly out of data, very simple data that I had, is that customers didn't like that ending that was 7 seconds. They don't. I mean, we all know that maybe now today, but like I needed the data to go and prove that. And so now we made an appreciable change. We went ahead recently and also did the same thing with the beginning. And so like we have such a long intro to some of our videos that is okay when it's a 7 minute video, that is not okay when you have a 2 minute video. And so just thinking about how you create your content, being able to get the data around that has allowed us to make better data that we're getting back from our customers. And the last thing I'll just go ahead and say on data is that we sit in customer education, friends. I don't know about you, but like Dave, how many customers do you talk to every single day? I don't talk to a whole bunch. I'm in meetings. I talk to my team. I talk to the people that talk to the customers. And so more and more and more, I'm encouraging myself and my team members to go find out who just completed that course. Send them an email if that's possible, or like, you know, privacy and regulations. Like I'm not saying break any of those, but like talk to the actual customers. Are there opportunities where you're community team is meeting with customers? Go to that, engage with them and have conversations. At the end of the day, that's your best piece of data, is what are your customers actually going to go ahead and tell you. And so we look and we've got a ton of data, and I'm excited about that opportunity in the middle. Go meet your customers, see where they're at, see what's driving for them. You know, we've done some really awesome things recently based on having conversations with customers and seeing what happens there. And that's where our release note videos came from. That's maybe a story for another time, Dave, but happy to dig in.
I think we're going to have to have more conversations. And I want to follow up on two things. One, I didn't know that about Wistia, which makes that even more desirable as a destination platform, because if I could have it autonomously, you know, I'm hosting content there, but it's switching A or B, and I can report on that. I've always loved Wistia. I used it a lot, and that's a killer feature because... There's nothing that ticks me off more than, hi, my name is Dave, and 5 minutes later, I'm getting into the meat of the stuff. Like, nobody cares who you are. That's mean, but it's real. It's those YouTube videos I see, too. Oh, my name's Jeb, and I'm fixing, you know, I'm just being silly because I was doing lawnmower repair. And then you have this whole thing about that person's, I don't care. I want to get to I'm going to skip right to the middle, and sorry. Maybe I'll come back and follow you, but I just don't really care. I need to get to the meat right now and get working. And that's informative too, because from a business level, I know that I've always had this kind of compulsion or direction, more rather, from leadership to say, well, it's got to be perfect. It's got to look. No, no. We're here to get the job done. and cut all that crap, if as much as we can, make it really short. What's the other thing I wanted to say? I may have forgotten that, but
well, and it's an opportunity too, Dave, as you think about that, for your designers to still get the branding, still get the music, right, whatever, right, out there, but do that in 2 seconds rather than seven. And how do you have an open that is still relevant and still possible, but does it need a whole objective statement with everything else and your 5 points you're going to get into? Not on short form content, for sure.
No, you don't have time for that. You need to use more of the media real estate rather than, you know, if there's multiple things going on at the same time. You don't need to have this linear sequence of the intro and the learning objectives and stuff, just like you said. Exactly. It should be implicit and easy to understand anyway, just by visually or audibly.
When you think about it too, like, learners are coming to learn that thing. They've already clicked on that video. They want to know how to accomplish that. How do you lean into that and say, hey, thanks, you know, whatever it is, let's get into this. Let's actually go. So, you know, it's an opportunity, I think, for customer education teams to dig more into that.
It's a huge one. Those are some good tips and things that we hadn't heard about. So props to Wistie on that. I feel like we're getting up to your natural ending point here, but I have some lightning round questions, and then I'll give you the floor for anything else that you want to. One question, this is something that is always on my mind and probably on the minds of peers that you have as well, you and I both have. What are you doing about localization? How are you approaching that in your program today? You know, like Alaskan, we have tons of countries and nationalities and different languages and such. What are you doing today, or are you working on it yet?
Well, we absolutely are. We've been doing localization for a number of different years on our content, and I think There's a lot that can go ahead and be said about localization and how that's approached. I think the first thing that people need to go ahead and keep in mind, and the first recommendation that I would make for individuals that are looking for localization or that they're maybe being asked by their boss to localize content, is to say, first of all, is your product localized? Is your marketing content localized? And is your documentation localized? Like how the customers actually complete those things. And maybe part of that is also looking at where is your maturity, going back to that word, of a customer education organization. Are you being used to sell product? Are you using to support product? Like, where do you fit? And maybe that answer changes just a little bit. But at least at Jamf, because we sit on that customer journey side, on that post-sale side, for lack of a better term, we definitely have to have those three checkboxes made before we'll go ahead and localize our content. So, you know, I am looking and working and saying, hey, that's great that you want this in fill in the blank language, but like, we don't have the product in that. We don't have our tech docs in that. We haven't sold into that region yet. So it doesn't really make a ton of sense for me to go ahead and localize, because the minute I localize my customer education content, they're calling in, they're putting in a support ticket, they're wanting to go ahead and expect that everything else we have in that journey is in that spot. So I think that's the first thing that I would encourage people to go and look at. And then also, localization takes time and it's expensive. You know, I've done a lot of presentations and talked to a lot of people about what that is. Our high stakes certification courses are localized into 7 languages because of the regions that we're in, because of the high stakes nature of it. It needs to actually be localized, but there's a ton of money, time, people, and resources that are put into what that workflow is and what that process is. All of our short form content that we were talking about before, that's in English. All of our low stakes certification type of content is in English. It's recorded in English, but we do translate the actual closed caption. And we translate all of the content that's there. It's a lower lift. It's a different type of a lift. And so at Jamf, we talk a lot about what is our localization level? What is our localization readiness as an organization to go into a region to support that? And then from a customer education perspective, what's our localization level that we're going to localize the content into? It's a lot of localization there. But like, are we just going to do the video closed captioning? Are we going to do the closed captioning with the text that surrounds that? Are we going to actually re-record the entire video with voiceover in that language and do all of that in a localization type of perspective? And so I think there's a lot of decisions that an organization needs to make based on what's the business outcome. And that's kind of where I'll finish this, Dave, is like, I could talk for many, many more hours about our process and how we localize content and localization versus translation. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to what's the business outcome that you're trying to achieve? Is it retention? Is it growth? Is it expansion? Is it wanting to go ahead and land that deal? And how can you actually measure that once you actually do the localization and put in all the time and effort and energy to accomplish that? So it's something that we dig into a lot, and we push back on a lot of decisions and make sure that the right check parts are there so that we can support it. But we love localization. Our customers and a huge percentage of our business is global and international. And we've got so many of our customers that wouldn't have our certifications, that wouldn't know how to use our product if we didn't localize our content. But we are not localizing everything. I will certainly go ahead and tell you that. And AI continues to go ahead and change that game and help us and assist us in that. And, you know, we're blessed at Jamf to have a localization team and work through product, because that's another thing that, like, when our customers are learning about how to do a thing, I want them to see that in the product. I want us to be using the same words and not just running it through an automatic or AI translator. So everything has the same narrative thread and words that we're using, because those things matter, especially when English is not your first language.
Yeah.
There's a few topics on localization, but happy to chat more with
you. That's wonderful.
That's interesting.
That's really good. And the reason we wanted to ask you that, and Adam had prompted us as well to cover that, is I think we can get caught by that really easily. And even at Atlassian, we're strictly prioritizing what regions that we're focused on. And, you know, you don't always take, oh, well, you need to translate. There's a lot of work under, my friends. And all the things, I like your three points. That should be a good rule for all of us to follow, and a good guideline to keep us from getting in trouble. Right? Like, trouble is too much work. We can't keep it up. All right. This is a really good, that was a good lightning round question. Let's do the outro now. Before I do, is there anything that comes to mind that you want to share as advice, or you've already done a lot of that, direct our attention to, or things that you want, shout outs for your team, all that kind of stuff, before we do the outro?
Yeah, so I'll say two things real quick, Dave. So number one, if you're out there and you're listening and you are that customer education shop of one or two or three, and you're aspiring to have a team and have a whole bunch of stuff, keep going. I just want to encourage you, keep going.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to figure out, build that business value, create a video. Just keep your head up. I've been there. It comes. Make sure you're aligned to your business and your business outcomes, and you can support that as you continue to move forward, but keep going. And know that you've got a community of people here to go ahead and support you as well. So continue to reach out, come to the industry events, conferences, be in the Slack channels. We're here to support you and cheer you on. So just encourage you to keep going. I do have to say, Dave, thank you for the opportunity, but I got to say thank you that I show up here today highlighting some of the content and the work that's taken many, many, many years to go ahead and build. And I've absolutely done that with an incredible group of people. So thank you to the Jamf customer education team, to my boss, Debbie, for the continued support of being able to have a team that benefits the business, and to Kyle, to Kelsey, to Beth, to Amber, your incredible managers. Keep leading your teams well. And thanks, everyone.
Yeah, that was wonderful. Kudos to everyone involved. And it was really great having you on, Jamf. What am I talking about? Brandon, I'm looking at my script here, and you're not Jamf. You're really
good. I'm not Jamf.
It's really been fun to watch your journey, and because I've been there alongside you in the trenches, and this really helps us all. So we really appreciate you being on the show today, helping everybody reach out to Brandon if you want to learn more. And okay, so again, if we've got a good understanding of what you've done. This has really been interesting to hear all of the different threads. You've built a great program over the last decade plus. So kudos to you and kudos to your team. So let's roll on out the door here. If you want to learn more, we have our podcast website at customer.education. Really easy to find. Find all of our stuff there. And we're also part of the broader customer ed community. And you can reach out, connect with, learn from, share ideas with your peers and other leaders that are making a difference. And we're, as well, we're always looking for new voices or existing voices that want to jump on our show and do very much like what you did, Brandon. Let's talk to the world and share, because if we're not sharing we're losing a lot of this material isn't written down anywhere. Sometimes you're finding it in a Slack channel, but we're trying to build a platform for all of us to share what we're learning and be able to grow together. And then special thanks as always to Alan Cutter for our amazing theme music. If this helps you out, you can help us by subscribing in Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, all the podcatchers of choice, and leave us a review if you can. 5 stars helps us a lot, keep this thing going. And thanks again for joining us. Get out there, educate, experiment, find your people. Thanks, Randon. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.